3 here, and it's just the start. This is something that came together a little different than normal, and so as much as possible, I'm just going to let the scriptures preach this message. So you're going to be turning quite a bit. Don't fear or anything like that. You're not going to have to work that hard, but that's how this is going to work tonight. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Start reading with verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. We mentioned that verse this morning. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts, so it's a wish, it's a prayer, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Lord, we are so glad that we do have the promise that you're coming back to get us. If it were not so, you would have told us. And we're glad that that day comes ever nearer. And we are certain now today that it is ever nearer than before. And Father, as much as things downturn here, we still look to the skies with hope and look for the face of our Lord Jesus Christ one day when he comes again. Father, you told us here to wait, have a patient waiting. And I pray you might enlighten a few eyes here tonight as you enlighten mine this week. I pray that you'll just bless the few minutes we have together, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, some texts just kind of fly beneath the radar, I guess, and we read them and, you know, just presume we know what they're saying. And so I'm reading along this week, and my mind snags on verse 5. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And I can only point to the Lord and say, I guess that he's the one that snagged my mind on it, because maybe it was the fact that I'd never noticed this before. Maybe it was the fact that the phrase, the two words, patient waiting, well, that's the only time it shows up in the book. So maybe that's what rung my bell. I'm not sure, but Paul cites that as one of the Lord's objectives for his people, that they are, first of all, directed, have their hearts directed into to the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, it struck me as I read that whether you wait patiently or not doesn't matter. You're going to wait for him. Everybody waits for him, and you can wait impatiently or patiently, however you want to wait, you're still going to wait, because it's not going to happen until he says it's going to happen. But just the way it was phrased, the patient waiting, maybe if we talk about patience on one hand and waiting on another, you may think those are two of the same things. And I'm convinced now that it was not. Simeon, I think back and I think of a failure of somebody waiting patiently. That would have been Saul. Saul was told to wait 7 days till Samuel shows up before going into battle. And he got all antsy and everything and wound up, you know, going ahead and making the sacrifice himself. And of course, about that time, up the hill comes Samuel like a tornado. And that's what, in part, lost Saul his throne, right? But he didn't wait patiently. I read about a guy in the temple when the Lord Jesus Christ was brought into the temple for his ritual, his mother's ritual cleansing. His name was Simeon. And the Bible said that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And so he got to see it, but he had been waiting a long time. There was another lady there named Anna. The Bible says that she had lived as a widow for 84 years, and that she had lived with her husband from her virginity. So I take that to mean that she's been widowed 84 years, that she lived with the husband she married for 7 years. Well, that's 91 years. And before that, well, she had to be anywhere from, 16, 18, or 20 to get married. So this lady's over 100 years old. And while it doesn't say that she had waited patiently, it's evident that she had, because she blessed the Lord in all those things. You know, Nadab and Abihu, they just couldn't wait long enough for the Lord to tell them where to get the fire for the incense. They had to go build their own fire. And in not patiently waiting, they lost their lives. And so there is a way that the Lord wants us to wait for Him, and that way is patiently. And no, don't assume the yoga position with your hands on your knees in little circles, and don't be humming and stuff, because we're not interested. And by the way, don't take any sedatives either, or you know, don't go trying any weird gummies either. Just it ought to be patient waiting. And the more I got to thinking about this, the more it kind of grew on me. I didn't really intend to preach this tonight, but I know that definitions can be boring, so forgive me, but just listen to this. So the word patient, now we're talking about patient waiting for Christ. Okay, patient. Having the quality of enduring evils without murmuring or fretfulness. Anybody convicted yet? Sustaining afflictions of body or mind with fortitude, calmness, or Christian submission to the divine will. Not easily provoked, calm under the sufferance of injuries or offenses. Not hasty or overeager or impetuous, waiting or expecting with calmness or without discontent. Ouch. without agitation, uneasiness, or discontent. Suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. a calm temper which bears evils without murmuring or, again, discontent. Waiting long for justice. The act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good, again, without discontent. Without griping, without murmuring, without fidgeting. Where is he? Supposed to have been back by now. He's probably never coming. That kind of thing, right? And so, first of all, you have a definition. And think about what the Lord is trying to impart. And then there's a couple of general things, and then we're going to really bust through some scripture here in a minute. But look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So I'm talking about patient waiting. You're going to wait. The question will be, are you going to wait patiently? And I'll tell you this, a little secret up front. The more I read it, the more I studied it, the more I'm convinced that most of the whys and wherefores that exist in your life, those things of why somebody got sick, why you got sick, why you have this bill, why this thing happened, why that thing happened, and why in the world won't the Lord answer this prayer, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that if you'll examine it, it may very well be that the Lord is doing nothing more than trying to build patience for you so that you can patient, so that you will patiently wait. It is a character attribute. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, did I say? It'd be helpful if I got there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Go down to verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And I know that sometimes you got to take Solomon with a grain of salt when he's in Ecclesiastes. I get it, but this rings true. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Well, that shows me that patience is a spiritual attribute. Patient in spirit. And so one of the things that I believe that happens is the Lord is trying to instill in us by our trials, tribulations, and troubles, by the things we go through, by our waiting. He's trying to instill in us patience. So that's enduring and fortitude without discontent, without murmuring, griping, and fretfulness. I'll show you some more verses in a minute, but that, so the first point, simply, and like I said, I'm going to try to let the scriptures speak as much here as possible, but it is patience is a spiritual attribute. It's something the Lord is trying to instill in your character spiritually. It seems to me that there's an awful lot that just fits under this umbrella as far as the Lord dealing with us. Now, let me take you to James chapter 1, and this is a verse that we all know so well. We can probably all quote it off the tops of our heads, but it struck me kind of anew reading it this time, studying it and thinking about this in this light. James chapter 1, and notice verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So patience is a perfecting attribute. He says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So you go through trouble, it tries your faith. It sounds almost like it's intentional. The trying of your faith worketh patience, because we're supposed to have a patient waiting for Christ. That's a waiting. That's going through, persevering through something without griping, without murmuring, without fretfulness. It goes on to add in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Sounds to me like that this patience thing is probably something that the Lord started dealing with every one of us about the time that we got born again, and that He's probably still dealing with all of us about it to this very hour. And it's a perfecting work. It's something that the Lord is desiring to instill, and we'll run upon that here in a second. But again, I'm thinking now that an awful lot of those unanswerable questions about why the Lord allowed and why the Lord took and why the Lord did this and why the Lord allowed that, I'm thinking that an awful lot of the answers to that question, which always, you know, it's hard to answer those questions, and somebody suffering and crying and grieving has a hard time dealing with it, and it's hard to counsel with them because you hate to just say, we'll just toughen up. But that all those things seem to be in my mind, fitting under this umbrella of the Lord allowing stuff to happen so that He can help impart patience. Again, fortitude, a perseverance without, you know, murmuring and griping and discontent and becoming dissatisfied with the Lord. Tell me what you're going through through right now that couldn't be related to just the Lord maybe trying to instill this characteristic into you. I don't know. Let me take you to Hebrews chapter 6 real quick. Hebrews 6. And I won't mention much about it, but in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15, talking about Abraham from verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So Abraham patiently endured. Approached as an old man, told to leave Ur of the Chaldees, then, hey Abraham, why don't you come out here and see if you can count the stars? He says, that's how many your seed will be. I mean, you're an old man, but your physical seed's going to be that many. You believe me? And the Bible says he believed him. But then it was still a really long time by an old man's standards before Isaac was born. And then after Isaac was born, the Lord turned around one day and says, hey, take Isaac up on Moriah and kill him. Abraham endured those things. And the Bible says that he patiently endured. And out of all that came somebody that became known as the friend of God. Right? Sounds to me like the Lord may have been seeking just the very thing he got from Abraham. a patient endurance. And he said, you know, by this last thing where you're willing to offer your son, you're going to be the friend. You're going to be, from now on, you're going to be known as the friend of God. It just seems that way, right? But it's first of all, this is a fourth point. It's an Abrahamic attribute. Let me show you something else in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And here we switch characters in verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So they're persevering, they're enduring through suffering, affliction. Some of them died, some were stoned, Jeremiah was imprisoned, etc., etc. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, we all know, the patience of Job, and so, we see somebody who we believe to be really patient. Well, he almost has the patience of Job. I don't know how you've always thought about this, but I've always thought when I read that, Job had this characteristic where the Lord laid this all on him, and we know that Job didn't sin with his mouth, and so Job was just a man with extraordinary patience. What if it wasn't like that? What if the whole process of going through what Job went through was the impartation, the development of patience in Job? So we're not looking at the beginning of Job as being when Job was patient, but at the end of Job, when Job had learned patience. And then the Lord rewarded him with his kids back and all that kind of stuff, right? But again, I'm pointing out to you just something that, this patient waiting, you're going to wait anyway. So could it be that an awful lot of what the Lord is doing in all of our lives that, might be difficult and trying and all those things, might it just be, as much as anything, and I know, talk about love and, development of faith and strength and all those things, but could a lot of it be nothing more than God trying to develop in us, before we die, before we're raptured, a level of patience that's pleasing to Him? You don't have to say amen. I'm just saying. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, talking about the Colossians conversion, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy. We talked about this worthy walk a couple weeks ago in Sunday school. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, strengthened with all might. Now, so He wants you strong. He wants you strong, right? Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. He wants you strong. What's He want you strong for? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. But what's He want you strong for? Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. See how that is? He says, that you might be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience. That just having the patience He wants you to have is going to be a major issue, and you're going to need to be strengthened to do that. Sounds to me like He's putting patience pretty high up on the quality meter for Himself. Sounds to me like He's trying to instill that in all of His children, and, maybe if we go back to our definitions, we can decide whether we're getting anywhere by how we handle adversity. What our attitude is and the way that we persevere through something. Like I said, digging your toe in and pouting and spitting and, turning the air blue once in a while when it sneaks up on you, that kind of stuff. Well, that's not what He's looking for if what we're reading here is right. but it is what you're strengthened for. Look, if you will, and let's look at the purpose then of something. And I've said it two or three times already. Look in Romans 12. Said it two or three times already that so the Lord puts you through something, allows you to go through something, lets the devil wail on you for a while, or maybe he's doing it himself, and you just don't understand. You ask, why, oh, why, oh, why is the Lord allowing this in my life? What did I do? Did I murder somebody? I mean, what happened? And sometimes maybe the most spiritual answer might be that what he's trying to do is to instill a character, a quality in you that he esteems much higher than any of us ever thought he might. I mean, so we don't esteem it that high. But apparently he does. Patience. Going through something without fretting, without discontent, without murmuring, without griping, without whining. Romans 12. Notice down in verse 12. Let me start a sentence here. Verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. And I'd like to just say that it seems to be, that seems to be the purpose of tribulation, to develop patience. But patient, says in verse 12, in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Let me take you to another verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians 1, like I said, as much as possible, let me let the Bible kind of do the preaching here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And go down to verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. He said, I, the Apostle Paul, the guys that are with me, we glory in you for your patience, and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations. Sounds to me like Paul is placing that characteristic pretty high. And I think the reason why is because you're going to see in a minute that that's what the Lord is trying to instill in Paul. But look in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm still backing this up, the purpose of tribulation. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and down in verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently? Now that is acceptable with God. Maybe it's giving you a clue to what God's after. He says, if you do right and then get nailed for it, and you suffer that tribulation, that suffering, patiently, that's what God's after. So, I mean, everybody has to ask themselves how you go through stuff, right? Because if I'm reading this right, an awful lot of what the Lord's dealings in our lives are about is trying to instill this attribute that He accounts much higher than we do. Patience. Amen. That is, perseverance, continuance, without murmuring, discontent, griping, and losing faith. Let me take you to Romans chapter 5 real quick. Still the same thing. Romans 5. Therefore, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Now, Paul's on high ground. Because 2 Corinthians 12, you know, I glory in my infirmities. Paul's glorying in tribulations. That's high ground, because I don't. Do you? He says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. That tribulation works patience. So the tribulation you go through is for the purpose of working patience. And patience then works experience, because you go through it and you find, like Job, the Lord will deliver you and reward you in the end for it. And so that's your experience. And so you just go through those cycles. And that's what I got for you on that. Let me take you to a little something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're getting close to being done. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this time, we talked about it being a spiritual attribute, a perfecting attribute. It's also Abrahamic, and it's also the attribute of Job. It's what we're strengthened for, to be patient. It is the purpose very often of tribulation. I'm not going to say always, but often. And then you learn something else here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What you learn here is that it is a ministerial attribute. If you're going to minister to somebody, and this is through Paul, well, let's just read it. 6:1. We then as workers together with him, with God, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So he's admonishing the Corinthian Christians in general that, you know, don't give offense, lest the ministry be blamed. And that's what happens, is somebody messes up. Well, that's what all you Baptists are like. Well, no, that's what that Baptist is like. You know, but they blame the ministry. But verse 4, but notice in all things approving ourselves. Now, Paul is talking about himself. He says, we ministers, we Christians are in all things laboring to approve ourselves as the ministers of God. And the first thing out of his mouth is, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors and watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by the honor and by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. He says, I'm trying to help you grow as ministers of God. And to do that, verse 4, it starts with patience. Boy, that's pleasant, isn't it? And he says, verse 12, you are not straitened in us. We are not your problem. You are straitened in your own bowels. The reason you're not getting somewhere is because of you. You can't blame us. My point is that this patience thing is something that he labors to impart into his somebody's going to minister to somebody. That's how they're approved, by their patience. And you know, you are going to a church where quite a lot of people do their best to try to minister to somebody else and not just themselves. And so what's likely to happen is there are more tribulations and things that happen where the Lord is trying to impart to you and me patience. And it's frustrating because patience is something you're supposed to persevere in without murmuring, without discontent, without griping. How about, let's keep going with this, James chapter 5, James 5. This is a ministerial attribute. If you don't develop patience, you cannot minister to people. 5:10. And I've already read this with the patience of Job in verse 11, but notice, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. You know, think of all that Jeremiah put up with, and all that Ezekiel put up with, and all that Elijah put up with. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 8, talking about Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. But Paul named as one of his attributes, he said, you guys saw it happen. I was patient. Okay, we're called to a patient waiting for Jesus Christ, trying to minister to somebody else along the way. And I'm saying that you're going to wait for him regardless, but the Lord is real interested in how you wait. How you serve. Is it patient? Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're getting there now, just hanging there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, down in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, talking to Timothy, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And all these last several verses have revolved around somebody in the ministry, somebody trying to minister. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, down in verse 11, I am become a fool and glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, you Corinthians, in all patience. Now, if I was talking about working signs and wonders among somebody, the first thing that would come to mind wouldn't be patience. The first thing that would come to mind was, were you impressed? He said, no, I wrought these signs and wonders among you in all patience. Now, something that we all have a difficult time with, there's a direction that patience takes. We're called to wait to a patient waiting, 2 Thessalonians, for Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, down here, as we've already kind of intimated, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and not too many more turns here, just keep going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if it's patience toward waiting for Christ, that's one thing that is a test. But here's another test. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Oh, I knew he was going to say that. But patient toward all men. Look at 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, I'm leaving some out. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. That patience, not a brawler, that's manward. That's me having and you having to exhibit patience with somebody else. And we always like it when they're patient with us. But we don't like being too patient with them. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice down in verse 23, and foolish, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, and not strive about that, because we are to strive for other things, right? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Okay, that's manward. Now, it's also Godward, because we're called to a patient waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where we started, just give me one more minute here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I'll start summing here just to say that, once again, it seems to me after picking this apart and carefully going through that it's a pretty safe bet that if it's not open chastisement or punishment or something like that, that there's a pretty good chance that some of the whys that you carry around with why is the Lord allowing this and why and why and why might just be nothing more than Him trying to instill a characteristic in you that He thinks really highly of. And we have a tendency not to think too much of it. Patience. That is a perseverance, a continuance, an enduring quality without griping, murmuring, bitterness, rebellion, insolence towards God, but just enduring it patiently. Now I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll wrap up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and notice what he says, verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, Thessalonians, that you both do and will do things which we command you. We're confident that that when we tell you to do something, you're going to do all that you can to carry it out. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Okay, that patient waiting needs to be shown in obedience. He said, we know that what we tell you to do, you're going to do your best to do. So the patient waiting manifests itself in obedience. Now there are other couple places that both the word wait and patient in some form show up together. Go back to Psalm 37 and you're almost done. Psalms 37. Psalms 37. And you notice the psalm starts out with fret not. You're down to verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So you need to wait patiently and fretlessly, not fretting, not chewing on your own arm because of all the stuff that wicked men get away with in this life. How unfair it is that that jerk got a promotion when I'm the one doing most of the work. Where you just you fret over the prosperity of the wicked. That's Psalm 73 and all those things. But a patient waiting is a fretless waiting, where you're not just constantly gnawing on your own arm, just can barely stand living here. You just cannot wait till Jesus Christ gets back so I can get away from these jerks. That's not patient waiting. Notice one more, Psalms 40. Psalms 40. So the patient waiting, one thing that's worth saying is you should wait obediently. That's 2 Thessalonians 3. You should be patiently waiting, and it should manifest itself as fretlessly, without fretting. And in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. So you need to wait prayerfully. And that may help you more than anything else. Amen? But we're called to a patient waiting. You're going to wait anyway, but it needs to be patient. So what I'm going to do is spend the next 50 years of your life, Kyle Stevens, trying to impart to you a level of patience that glorifies me. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for tonight. It's pretty heavy stuff, and